One of the halachos that we learn about towards the beginning of our parsha is that of smicha. In certain circumstances, the owner of a korban, before that animal is slaughtered and offered on the mizbeach, the owner rests his hands, smicha, rests his hands on the animal. The medrash in the Torah's Kohanim here darshins that, in fact, men who bring a korban could be obligated in smicha, but even when a woman brings the exact same korban, women are, by Gzeir HaKatuv, are not obligated in smicha. However, the medrash continues here in the Torah's Kohanim with a very fascinating machlokas tanaim. A woman might not be obligated to do the smicha, to rest her hands on the korban, but would she be permitted to do so? And this leads to a famous debate. One opinion says, Nashim samchos rishus. A woman may not be obligated, but rishus, she has permission. If she wants, she may do so. It's her option, it's her choice. And the other opinion says, no, if you're not obligated, you're also not permitted. Now, while at first glance this might seem to be a somewhat esoteric, far removed, distant machlokas from our more everyday life at the moment, in fact, the Mishnah and the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah show that this debate actually is a paradigm which has very far-reaching ramifications. The Mishnah and Gemara there discuss whether a woman on Yontif is allowed to blow shofar or not. A woman's not obligated in shofar. Let's say she wants to. Can she blow shofar on Yontif? Maybe there's alternatively a muksa problem or something like that. Anyway, the Gemara there in the Mishnah show and demonstrate that there's a machlokes. One opinion says a woman can, and one other woman says a woman cannot. And in explaining that machlokes, the Gemara says it goes back to the debate from the Medrash on our Parsha, that the origin of everything, of the debate about shofar, goes back to smicha on the karbon. The same opinion that says nashim somchos rishus, that women can rest their hands on the karbon, also holds that women can blow the shofar on her own if she wants. And the other opinion says she cannot rest her hands on the karbon, also says she cannot blow the shofar. In other words, what we see here is that the debate about smicha is really a paradigm for the broader issue of, are women permitted to do mitzvos that they are not obligated in? Are they allowed to volunteer and optionally choose to perform those mitzvos? One opinion says yes, the other opinion says no. And the question, which I think is really fascinating, somewhat philosophically, but also conceptually and halachically, is we paskin that nashim somchos rishus, that with very, very few exceptions, most of the time, even in a mitzvah that a woman is not obligated in, she may optionally volunteer to perform that mitzvah. The question is, given that is the case, when a woman does perform such a mitzvah, what is the status of that action? Is it a full-fledged mitzvah, just that she wasn't obligated to do it, but if she does it, it's a full-fledged mitzvah, no different than if a man does it or if she herself had been obligated? Or do we say that, no, it's something much, much less. It's not negative, but it's, you know, more spiritually neutral. It's not a real mitzvah. It's more of just, you know, almost acting, if you will, in a very benign way. So on one level, we have to acknowledge, again, this has nothing to do with women versus men. It's true for anybody, that the Gemara very famously says in Kiddushin that there's more reward for a mitzvah you're obligated in than if you volunteer. Gadol mitzvah v'yosa misha'en mitzvah v'yosa. This is somewhat counterintuitive, but most of the classical explanation of this, and I think it's, if we think about it more deeply, I think we know this to be true, is that when we're obligated in anything, mitzvah or otherwise, the obligation to do anything naturally creates a certain resistance to it. So by overcoming that resistance and fulfilling our obligation, we deserve a greater reward than if we volunteer for something, because when we're not obligated and we're merely volunteering, it's certainly virtuous to volunteer, but there is no resistance that has to be overcome in the same way, and therefore it's deserving of less reward. Whatever the rationale is, it's a fact that Gemara says, in general, men or women, anybody, when you volunteer for a mitzvah, you don't get as much reward. So one question is clear, one point is clear, I should say, that a woman who is volunteering for a mitzvah, since we paskin that women are allowed to, nashim somchot rishus, it's not the same level of reward as if she had been obligated. But still, that doesn't necessarily fully answer the conceptual question of what is the status of that action when a woman does the mitzvah that she's not obligated in. Is it really the same act as if she had been, as anyone else doing the mitzvah? Or perhaps qualitatively, categorically, it's something less. To answer this question, we need to go back to the world of the korban. There's a very interesting machloket. Even if we assume, as we do halachically, that a woman is allowed to volunteer, what type of smicha does she do? When a man does smicha, he fully rests with all of his weight, all of his power, he rests on the animal. He's not just gently touching it, he's fully putting his weight on the animal as he rests his hands on the animal. question is whether a woman, when we allow her to do smicha, can she do that as well? And this is a machlokas in the Rishonim. The Ravid says, yes, nashim can be somech b'chol kochan, just like a man. But there's another opinion in Rishonim from Tosfos that says, no, even when we allow women to do smicha, it just means gently resting her hands on the animal. What is this debate dependent on? Why should there be such an argument? So Rav Gustman, one of the great early and mid-20th century Gedolim, first from Europe and then eventually America, and then eventually after that, Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, he explains in his Sefer, Kuntres HaShiurim, that the debate hinges on the question that we mentioned. According to the Ravid, a woman is not obligated to do smicha, but if she chooses to do so, the action that she does has the full-fledged status of a mitzvah. Therefore, she can do smicha no different than a man who is obligated. The only difference is that she's not obligated, but when she volunteers, her status of a mitzvah is no different. As opposed to the other opinion of Tosfos says, no, even when a woman is volunteering, and it's fine that she does, but it's not a full-fledged mitzvah. And therefore, we're not going to allow her to fully rest her hands on the karbon, because ordinarily, a karbon is kadosh. It's already been sanctified and dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. Random people can't just touch a karbon. That actually has strict halachos. So we'll allow her to touch it gently, but since it's not a real mitzvah, we won't allow her to touch it and rest till full weight on it. In other words, this machloket, which again seems to be far removed, it has to do with just resting of the hands on the karbon, but it's really hinging on this fundamental question. According to the Ravid, it's a full-fledged mitzvah, no different than a man, just that she wasn't obligated to do so. As opposed to the Tosfos, it really is something less. Another practical question, which may very well depend on this question, Rav Gustman suggests as well, is the machlokas when a woman volunteers for a mitzvah, can she make a bracha? A woman shakes lulav, a woman does shofar blowing. Can she make a bracha? Or because she wasn't obligated to do so, she doesn't have to make a bracha. This is a well-known machloket Rishonim, and Rav Gustman suggests that maybe this is the same issue as well. If you hold this a full-fledged mitzvah, then maybe she can make a bracha. But if you hold this something less than that, then of course you wouldn't let her make a bracha on something that was less than a full mitzvah.